God's grace to you and his peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our epistle reading as Paul is writing to the Corinthians. And the title of this message is Being Made Holy. Another way of describing that in a one-word term is called sanctification. In our text, however, from the New International Version, it uses the concept of holiness. As it says near the end, our righteous holiness and redemption. And in one essence, it's describing us. We are righteous, we are holy, because not of anything we have done, but what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given to us. Notice in our text how Paul describes us. He wants to very clearly set the stage that it wasn't because of anything we had done that makes us holy. It is everything of what Christ has done. Notice how God describes us. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things and the things that are not, so that no one may boast before him. I don't know about you, but do you like to be called foolish? Do you like to be called weak? Do you like to be called lowly? Or even worse, things that are not? Well, I will admit that sort of strikes me at my personhood, so to speak, and gives me a little bit of a sense of that nice low self-esteem. But that's exactly where God wants us to be. He wants us to realize that it's not by anything we have done that earns or merits our salvation. It's not by our gifts or abilities. We're not part of the rich and famous. We really have nothing to brag about. We are foolish. We are weak. We are lowly. We are the things that are not. Now, I will admit, I usually don't like to be called this, but God knows everything that goes on in my life. He knows all my sins. He knows all my shortcomings. Now, my wife knows a lot of my shortcomings, but even then, she doesn't know all of them. But God, in his infinite wisdom, knowing everything that I have done, all the sins that I have committed, still says to me and to you, here's the gift of eternal life through my Savior, through your Savior, Jesus Christ, his only Son. So as we are now made holy because of what Christ has done, we look at the cross and we see the symbol of our holiness, Jesus in his death. Through his resurrection, we have the forgiveness of sins. Not that God has now mind-wiped our sins, so to speak, but that he has poured out his wrath upon Jesus Christ so that when he sees us as family members, dearly beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. He doesn't see our sin. Jesus paid the price for our sin. Well, now that we are sort of in that holiness, but not yet. We are declared holy, yes, by God. And when we get to heaven, we will then purely be holy. But while we're still on this side of heaven, we realize we still are sinners. We still have fallen short of God's glory. And because we're still sinners, we can wander from the path. And it almost reminds me of some of those country roads. I don't know if you've ever been on them. I typically have in the back of my mind, especially when I was doing my vicarage out in rural America, those gravel roads. And what's on each side of the gravel roads? A nice ditch. You want to avoid the ditch at all costs. Because when the ditch gets nice and wet and muddy, you can't pull your car out until it starts drying up. So they forewarned me, avoid the ditches. And I did a very good job of avoiding them. But as Christians, how well do we avoid the two ditches, so to speak, along this path? Now let me name these two ditches in regards to our holiness. You see, too often as Christians, we start looking at this holiness of God. And we take a look at God's precious word. We take a look at that grace, and in that word, God gives us some guidelines to follow. And one of the traps or one of the ditches that as Christians we fall into is we hang on to these guidelines, we read these guidelines, we memorize these guidelines, and there's nothing wrong in and of that self. But what happens when we start using these guidelines to judge other people? What happens when we start using these guidelines of the Word of God to put other people down instead of encouraging them into the faith? What am I talking about? Have you ever heard one Christian talk to another Christian, basically complaining and saying, "How can so-and-so be a Christian? They do all those sinful things in their life. Maybe we should toss them out of the church." I know, it sounds like very hard for us to believe. Would Christians actually talk that way? Unfortunately, it is true. You see, we start thinking of the holiness that God has given to us, and it sort of goes to our head. And when it goes to our head, we start thinking that we are holy. Well, we are, but because of Jesus Christ, not because of anything we have done. It's interesting, I ran into a discussion with one of my members when I was out in Nebraska. I was encouraging him in the faith. And his words to me was, "Pastor, you don't understand all the sins I have committed in the past." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, you don't understand my past sins either." He said, no, Pastor, my sins are different. I'm sure you only committed small little sins. I committed huge, great sins." And I tried to reemphasize to the point, I am not better than he is. We both had sinned. We both had fallen short of God's glory. There is no difference from God's point of view from those big sins to those little sins. Why? Because the holiness doesn't depend on us. It depends upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Cannot Christ cover a multitude of sins? I hope and pray so, because I have a multitude of sins. But as Christians, still living on this side of heaven, we like that comparison and analysis. And when we start putting other people down instead of just encouraging them in the faith, we fall into that first ditch. Now let's swing to the other side of the road, to the other ditch, so to speak. That other ditch, as Christians, we understand the grace that comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We understand the covering of the righteousness that God alone gives us. And then we start falling to the other ditch, which is basically saying, "Hey, I can sin as much as I want. I'll just go to church on Sunday and ask for forgiveness." Now we've gone to the other side of the road and fallen to the other ditch. God does not delight in our sins and doesn't want us to constantly be heading that direction. Yes, there is forgiveness, but God's word is God's word for us to follow, to live by, to learn, to meditate, to memorize. It is the path by which we should follow. But if we're out doing our own thing, we can't be following God's path, can we? We fall into the other ditch sometimes. Another way of sort of describing this besides the two ditches is the relationship of a family. You got to remember, how do we get into a family? You either were born into a family, you were either adopted into the family, or you were married into a family. Those are the basic ways. So it is with the family of God. We were not born into the family. We weren't married into the family. Even though God does describe himself as the groom and the bride being the church, but we were adopted into the family. When we come to the baptismal font, and God's name was placed upon us, we were now made a child of God, not because of anything we had done, but because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done. We were adopted into this family. Now, as good family members, well, what makes a good family member? You know, someone who loves the family, who wants to be in the family, helps take care of the family, and enjoys being in the family. So it is with the family of God. As we hang on to God's word, as we share that love and that forgiveness and encourage each other into the faith, as we try to strengthen each other through God's word, especially when we're down and out and we need that comfort and that strength, we are following what God's word says. We are doing the family rules, so to speak. By the way, is anyone in the family more of a family member? No, we're all equals. If we're in the family, we're in the family. That's the way the family is. But unfortunately, going back to my analogy with the two ditches, we can leave the family. We can choose not to belong, disassociate with the family, and ignore the family. And if we do choose to do that, does that mean that God the Father loves us any less? The answer is no. God still wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Even if we disobey the rules, does that kick us out? No, we pretty much only exclude ourselves from the family. How can you really get kicked out of the family? That's what family's all about, isn't it? But as Christians, when we start thinking about the family of God and we want to kick people out because they have broken the rules, we forget how many times we also have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And likewise, when we see a family member who seems to be disenchanted with the family, what do? We encourage. We love. We try to build them up. We try to include them into the family. We don't chastise them. We try to win them with the same love that God loves us. This is very challenging in our day and times because we live in a very sinful time where sometimes our own holiness puffs up our own pride and we don't have that same love and patience even for family members. When people argue, who do they argue usually the roughest with? Their own family. Not necessarily with strangers, but the people they love and cherish the most. It sounds strange, but we very often hurt our own family members more than we hurt strangers. God doesn't desire that kind of hurt. God desires that love, that peace. And in this passage in 1 Corinthians, God needs to remind us that, wait a minute, we were adopted into this family. We were given family status not because of anything we had done, but because of what God had done. We are now declared holy. Not perfectly, but on the other side of heaven we will be. But from God's point of view, He now looks at us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He says, I see my family. Let's stop fighting. Start loving. Start forgiving. Start caring for one another, encouraging one another in the gift of faith. This is one of the reasons why the church also gives out Bibles. Today we'll be giving out Bibles to our third graders. It is God's Word, designed to keep us on that path, designed to help us to avoid the two ditches of life, to keep us in the family of God. It is in that Word we have life and salvation. It is in that Word we have hope. We give these Bibles to our third grade students to remind them to read God's Word, and through our Sunday school classes, we will help them go through that Word. But that Word should not just be left on the shelf to only be used one day a week, but to be used every day of the week. Being part of the family is not meaning that we only show up every once in a while, but we be in His Word every single day. So on this day, as we see how we are being made holy, we remember that through Christ we are already made holy. But while we're still on this side of heaven, we ask the Lord to increase that faith through His Holy Spirit, to keep us on that path, to help us to avoid the two ditches, and to remind us that we are part of the family of God, adopted in His name as He has given to us, so that we can be with Him in the heaven above. So we ask the Lord to strengthen us through this Word, to forgive our sins and to nurture us with that same love that comes from Him and help us to share that love to those around us. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.